Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Never Tell Me the Odds, the Star Wars RPG podcast. I'll be your host tonight, David Krennan, and we actually have a new player joining us, Mr. Tom Fonz. You might know him from Crit Juice, where he plays the Dragonborn Gub. If not, buckle your seatbelts, because he's a great player. And that's about it, so let's get right into it. Here we go! Okay, so we're going to start using obligation in this session. You guys just want to go around and talk a little bit about what your character's obligation is. Andrew, we'll start with, Gippy.
Well, Gippy's obligation is revenge. Gippy was an extremely respected member of the Galactic Republic, and then later the Senate, even under the auspices of Chancellor Palpatine. But his homeworld, Dak, was in the all of his kind of prestige that allowed him access to his various
harems and such.
Yeah, harems and kind of like his like hunting grounds. Any of the things that go along with being a senator,
yeah,
and being like kind of like a corrupt politician. All of that, corrupt in the most genteel manner. Kind of all went away, and so at any opportunity that he would have to take revenge upon the Empire, he would basically leap at it, no matter how dangerous.
Okay.
Like that's pretty much his obligation is the fact that he has this hanging over him constantly.
That's interesting. So yeah. you've got he does have values. That's good to know.
Yes, yes. He believes in democracy, okay, and the opaque and backroom, smoke-filled room dealings that result from that.
Okay.
Rather than just pure fascism, where, you know, no, he's not getting his beak wet from that, but...
All right, Jeanette, what about Lorik?
Lorik doesn't have a lot of willpower. He's more of just like a same shit, different day kind of guy, where he's kind of okay going along with everything, and... So growing up, I feel like he would be put upon a lot by his friends to take care of things for them. So I think my obligation is more of like a family obligation, kind of like a people come to him basically saying, hey, we need your help with something, and Lorik basically feeling the need to help them out.
Okay. And you're saying, too, as a Wookiee that...
There's a lot of turmoil in the Wookiee-verse. They're all being taken as slaves. They're all being, you know, just taken advantage of, their life debt system
right,
abused.
The Empire doesn't like the Wookiees.
People don't like the Wookiees.
They're kind of threatening.
And they have a lot to give.
Okay, so you've got kind of this this obligation coming to you from other Wookiees in your past, kind of, who call upon you for favors. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Want you to support them?
Yeah.
Or help them out? Okay. Freeloaders?
I don't think he would openly call them that.
Uh-huh.
But yes.
Okay. Okay.
I feel like everyone who's ever worked with Lorik knows Lorik will do their homework for them. I'm not smart at homework, but I'm good at swinging my axe, and everyone wants me to swing my axe for them.
So Malcolm's obligation is also revenge. He was teamed up with Logan for a number of missions or runs, and then they were both captured. Logan managed to escape, and Malcolm didn't, by the Hutts, and he was experimented on and tortured. He eventually managed to escape, and he wanted revenge on Logan to see if he left him or set him up.
Okay.
But then Logan was killed, so now he wants revenge on the guy that killed Logan, and he also wants revenge on the Hutts.
Okay, which is probably one of the reasons you even are hanging out with this group of scoundrels or whatever in the first place.
Right, they were the last people to see him alive, and yeah, it kind of eats at him, so...
Okay, sounds good. Tom?
I feel like our characters could talk about like the need for revenge, but the conversation would stop pretty much at he's like, yes, because I was tortured, and I'd be like, oh, yes, I miss the thread count I used to have on my sheets.
Yeah.
It's practically torture. That, and then there would just kind of, that would be the end of
I would leave the room, and you would still be talking.
No. What about Dam's obligation?
Dam is a droid, in case you need to know that. And he's had a memory chip stolen from him. He doesn't know what the memory is or who stole it, but he's aware of its absence, and he's obsessed with what that memory was, who took it.
Mm-hmm.
And he suspects, because he has a lot of ties to, like, underworld smugglers. He was a pilot for a lot of the smugglers. He thinks it has something to do with that.
Okay.
But he doesn't know, and he's obsessed with finding out.
We pick up in this session right where we left off last time, which was you were approaching the outside of one of the casinos in one of the, not the main drag here on Ord Mantell, also known as the Smuggler's Paradise. An entire planet of kind of vices and seedy occupations and things like that. There are the central casinos, which are famed across the galaxy, where you know, maybe even Gippy had been to. Just, you know, excess and wealth on display and privilege out to play and all that. This is not one of those. This is more like Fremont Street compared to the main strip in Las Vegas.
Oh, I was gonna say Prim. Like Prim Valley, like the outside, like a couple miles outside of Vegas.
Yeah, probably like that, actually. The ones that have been here for, you know, a couple decades or longer than that. So what these ones are really good at is passing stolen merchandise through them, fencing. So it's evening. The stars would be visible if you weren't in a planet covered by a huge city and the light wasn't drowning out the sky.
So the stars aren't visible.
They're not visible.
But so why night. Bring them up, Dick?
No. to cast this image. you know, to
his visual language.
To instare these minds. Imagine the stars. Now don't imagine them.
So like the Star Wars crawl, like, always ends in star field and then pans down. So this would just end in the star field and then just pan down like endless layers of smog.
Yeah,
until exactly. It like arrives at us. Okay.
Out here, it's more glitz than glamour. If you would, you know, it's like it's the big neon signs flashing, topless Trandoshans, you know, over here, the skin shows and things like that. But yeah, so you guys have approached the outside of Lucky De Tua's. This also happens to be the place this lady you ran into in the pawn shop, your fence's place. You remember, of course.
I remember asking her a question.
Back in Jonathan Doobie's.
Proud of myself.
Then. Very good. That's right. So you guys have approached outside. You know that she works here as well, and she actually invited you around to have
What's
a chat.
What's her name?
We'll get to that in 1 second. We actually dropped that name at the end of last session. To rehash where we left off last time, I'm not going to do an opening crawl this time because, actually, let me... because we're kind of still in the middle of the thing, we'll get an opening crawl next time.
Okay.
Actually, I do want to do a...
canceled fucking Christmas, but whatever.
Yeah, fucking canceled. Big red stamp on it. Says no.
What about leveling up?
You be quiet now.
Okay.
Yeah, you read your emails, Gary.
Okay.
All the information is in the expansive email. Sometimes they're long, I know. It's an RPG. They're going to be long emails. I'm sorry.
I hate short emails. It wasn't worth opening it. I love long emails, just for the record. And I love
what?
Leveling up.
Great. All right.
And what happened?
Well, you're going to have even more stuff to level up on next time when you actually level up, which will be great. Okay.
I think the level 3 feed open email.
Uh-huh, that'd be great. That's right. Obviously, you don't have that one yet. Welcome, everybody, once again to Never Tell Me the Odds, the Star Wars RPG podcast.
Woo! Woo! Yeah!
That's right.
Yay!
Jawa, na play Star Wars RPG. That... catchphrase submitted by my girlfriend, who thought it would be funny.
She was wrong.
Consensus on that one?
No, I really enjoyed that.
Jawa na play some Star Wars?
You're my friend, and I wish you to continue to get laid, so I'll pretend that that's great.
She also suggested this one. Obi-Wan na play some Star Wars RPG podcast?
I like the Jawa better, but I enjoyed both.
Okay. Getting those out of the way up front. All right. Thank you, Julia Marchesi. Okay.
And now we can start.
Last time where we left off, we had advanced time 1 full year since the destruction of Alderaan by the Death Star. In that period of time, the rebels had some successes that actually managed to destroy the Death Star. So you guys are living in a post-Death Star universe, but everyone remembers where they were when Alderaan was destroyed, whatever. Things for you guys on the fringes remained tough, though. You're never really quite part of the rebellion. You're just trying to eke by. You guys had filed the serial numbers off of the starship, the Slave One-looking starship, the Boba Fett ship, which I think you guys have a name for it yet, still technically unnamed.
Lowrix Dungeon.
Lowrix Dungeon.
I thought it was Doopy.
It doesn't mean or Doopy.
Wow, you set us up and then just went a whole different direction.
Yeah. You got us riled up about Doopy.
Well, that's where I met Doopy.
Wasn't your dungeon?
My personal sex dungeon.
You fucked a green chicken-armed animal?
It was a sex dungeon. There were no rules. Lights were low.
The things he could do.
A lot
do.
Of carpet for him to work through.
Yeah. Wow.
Does the carpet match the carpet?
So, in your still unnamed ship, we'll go with that for now, which is still pretty cool, ex-Imperial craft, so it's a little bit dangerous flying it around. You have been running some missions. You had fenced off this artifact you had recovered from the Moon of Alderaan. Technically, you had kind of stolen it away from the Imperial forces, which had excavated it. Fenced it off on the planet of Ord Mantell for a small fortune, which allowed you guys to live pretty well over the last year. Unfortunately, funds are finally running low again. You had met up, of course, Lorik and our good friend Gippy Bindu had met up with Malcolm, the human bounty hunter, and a plucky droid by the name of Dam. Believe it. What does that stand for again?
Oh, you're going to quiz me.
No, wait.
No. Can I do it? Wait, what?
Wait, think it up.
Down?
No. He's got it.
We'll get to it in a second. We'll have everyone go around and say it.
Right.
I trust you remember it. All of a sudden, one evening, you had received a panicked call from your fence, a man named Gippy Bindu, who, as we established...
No, that's Gippy Bindu.
I'm Gippy Bindu. Other stupid-sounding Star Wars.
How could you forget Jonathan Doopy,
I don't know.
Met me in a sex dungeon that I later named my ship after?
Once again, cutting all that
out. Now it's your ship. What's going on? And second of all, Logan gave his life for this artifact, and that keeps getting brushed over episode after episode.
Should we call it Logan's Run, the ship?
Ooh. Logan's run stopped.
Logan's no longer running.
Yeah. He was the first person to ever hockey shirt.
A Jedi.
Ever. That's the first time in history it's ever happened.
For good reason, hockey we find out.
Right.
Yeah. We can call it the Logan's Rum, and we have a bar on the mid-deck where we just get drunk.
The still unnamed ship. But you'll strike on a great name at some point, I'm sure. There seems to be some argument among the crew about what it's called.
We all think it's named. We just have different ideas of what that name is.
Yeah. The Gippy Shuttle, the...
Lorik's Dungeon.
Sex Dungeon.
Sex Dungeon, Sparkling Egg Clutch.
Oh, yeah.
Logan's Run.
What is your name for the ship?
A nice, pretty ship.
Droids. You had received a panicked message from your fence and good friend Lorik, Jonathan Doopy, voiced by Samuel L. Jackson, telling you that he'd figured out some secret about this artifact, its true purpose. He's got it all figured out, but you have to come. He'll tell you in person. He thinks his life is in danger. Doesn't trust any channels.
Boy, he was right.
Yeah, hung up. By the time you get there, you found him murdered in his own shop, the artifact and all of his notes stolen, and then you had a quick run-in with security corps of that planet, who ended up getting exploded by Malcolm's well-placed concussion grenade.
It's pronounced core.
Is it not corpse?
No, it's core. Core. As what? In Marine Corps, not Marine Corpse. That would be unfortunate.
Yeah. The P&S, what are they doing there?
Being quiet. They're right next to the B in comb.
Shit. All right, mental note.
An ego note. It was Dam's concussion, one of his concussion grenades.
Oh, no, I grabbed yours because you got lit up, grabbed the grenade, and Tango and cashed him, and then kicked him back through the door.
Yes.
Yeah, you shoved it down the front of his pants, and he got blown to pieces. You also ran into a lady who was entering the shop. You didn't quite catch her name.
I forgot to axe her.
You say that because you hit her with a giant axe as soon as she came in, right?
Correct.
Okay. Right. There's a bit of a misunderstanding.
Doopy rage.
In the end, you guys kind of managed to clear it up. You did kill her, although you did injure her quite badly.
She was an important character, so she didn't have hit points spelled out for you to take down.
Hey, that's not true. I've got her stats right here. Just wasn't enough to kill her, which was great.
All right. I have her blaster.
You do not have her blaster. But you liked it because it was an old-fashioned slug-throwing blaster. So you met her. She said, come see me tonight. You guys really helped me out with those cops that you blew up, because the cops or the security corps on this planet are assholes. And then finally, Malcolm, in order to track down this artifact, you had gotten in touch with your underworld contacts. This artifact must have been Rodians. Probably killed Jonathan Doopy, stole the artifact. And if they're trying to get it off-planet, for sure, they're putting it through one casino, Lucky Day Tours, which just happens to be the same place that your lady friend works. So that leads us to this very evening. As we part the veil of reality, underfoot, your feet go crunching or clip-clopping along the surface of Duracrete streets of this city. There's a filth in the gutters. You can smell bodies in the air. The humidity is high and pressing around you. No stars visible beneath the light pollution and smog of these outskirts of Ord Mantell. As you come up to one of the less reputable but more famous casinos in the city, Lucky Day Tours. The outside of it looks fairly nondescript, not big and flashy. Looks like it's several stories tall, quite wide. No windows, but just in giant blue neon over the door. It says Lucky Day Tours. And out in front of that, there's some like adolescent Rodians or Wookiees or whatever taking keys and valeting things, and they have to wear the stupid red vests. But there's all sorts of like fancy, high-toned air speeders and speeder bikes and things like that with really nice styling and everything like that. A couple Gamorrean guards standing in front of the door. Gamorreans, you guys probably know, are the like the squat pig-faced orkling guys out in front of the door wearing like tuxedos that are like bursting off of them that barely fit them and going you know, and welcoming people in. So as you guys step in, the humidity gives way and you walk into a vast open space. The whole casino set up courtyard style. So the whole first floor is given way to entertainment. The whole center area is covered by a big dance floor. And in the center of that, coming out from one wall, is a big platform stage. Raised up, you know, big sparkling red curtains in the back. All around the edges are gambling tables where people are playing Sabak or Dajerik. What is the name of the game, like the chess type game they're playing in the...
For the love of God, I don't remember how to pronounce it correctly.
Okay.
Go home, check Wikipedia.
And then edit this back in. Okay, well, playing the various Star Wars equivalents of poker, games of chance, things like this. The casino, so on the lower floor, it's all set up like that. There's a dance floor, and then above that, it's just open, going up to a second floor where you can see this seems to be like kind of the VIP level up there, where it looks much more executive.
Did we have to check our weapons?
As you come through the door, absolutely, you do have to check the weapons. As you come there, Gamorreans stop you. Anyone who has anything kind of military-grade weapons on them, you can see that there's like the equivalent of a coat check. So if anyone's got blaster rifles, heavy weaponry, things like that, daggers, blasters, they're kind of okay letting that come in. It is kind of a lawless town, so they're all right with that.
I have a pocket blaster
pistol. Okay, pocket blaster pistol.
Can your fingers like get in to squeeze the...
Do I need to roll a stealth check for that?
They're not. You see, they're not even checking it, so that's okay.
They're not. They're okay.
Pocket blaster pistol doesn't worry them too much.
I mean, like, I can't hide the vibro-axe. I have to hand it in.
Yeah, so you're going to have to check your vibro-axe at the
yes.
door.
Do
so
I...
a couple of the Gamorreans go... I gesture towards the vibro axe.
And I just write back, rah, 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 give him my axe. Did they give me a little check?
Yeah, he takes it and goes, and then like delicately hands you like a little slip of paper with your number
on it. And I delicately take it from his fingers, careful not to rip the paper, because it would be very easily ripped between the two of us.
Between a Gamorrean and a Wookiee, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like trying to just touch each other, but not touch each other and just get it.
Yeah, there's a bit of awkwardness. You can see, as you take it, you can see there's some... like rip tickets around his feet. He's clearly not succeeded on this every time. Malcolm, what do you have with you?
I have a light blaster pistol, which I can keep on me, correct?
Light blaster pistol, they're okay with.
And then I have a blaster rifle, which I would imagine I'd have to give up.
They're gonna have to check that with you. Yeah, they kind of stop you at the door. Blaster rifle. Yeah.
So I go to hand it to him. Okay. And when he goes to grab it, I pull back. And I hand it to him, and then I watch where he puts it.
Okay, so they've got, it's just like, kind of like a coat check. There's like a Twi'lek or something like that. Twi'lek's the guys with the long head tendrils, as we all know.
I imagine our audience is fairly familiar with Twi'lek.
Actually,
the dancing variety, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
Ha-cha-cha-cha.
They check the blaster rifle. It's like a pudgy male Twi'lek who's back there just, you know, wearing also kind of like black suit kind of stuff. Takes it, checks it, there's like a weapon rack. There's all sorts of crazy weapons back there. There's like a... full-on disruptor rifle. There's vibro axes, vibro swords.
So you're a vibro axe plus two.
Like a double vibro axe?
Yeah, double vibro axe.
Yeah, there's a double vibro axe, like a double guitar, but double vibro axe. Yeah, all sorts of crazy Star Warsy weapons. Weird things, like something that's like gelatinous and it has a bunch of like waves in it and you don't even know what that is.
Oh, I know what that is.
hands you the ticket.
I've had sex with that.
We meet again. Damn. Do you have any weapons on you worth checking?
I have a blaster pistol. Is that necessary to check?
Pistols they seem to be okay with.
Fantastic.
Into the club. So nightclub slash casino.
Everyone in the club getting tipsy.
Is that what Lorik says as he comes in?
Yes, but in Wookiee, so I'm like...
and then Dan goes, in case people are wondering, he's singing the song about up in the club.
Inside, so like I said, first floor, kind of the lower stakes games of chance and things like that. It's maybe 100 or so feet across, maybe a little more than that. Just a big wide space. Kind of half of that given over to kind of like a dance floor entertainment area. Little cocktail tables, a variety of different alien race waitresses walking around in kind of tight, form-fitting, slightly futuristic-y, like, you know, electric blue uniforms coming on, you know, walking around, taking orders, and being very flirtatious with people. There's a couple people dancing.
Do we see our girl?
Not yet. We'll get to that in 1 second. And then, like I said, second floor, like the executive, like high-stakes games, you see... fancy folk walking around up there, ladies with, you know, huge hairdos and just a few tables that are kind of spread out from each other with just, you know, it seems much quieter and much more reserved up there. And,
would you say that they're so fancy that they don't even know that they're so fancy from LA to Tokyo?
I would, yeah.
Okay.
I think I would. Is that from a song? I didn't get that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next time you make a reference, please make sure it includes more Twi'lex and or Gamorrean
dogs. Right. Yeah.
I know a lot about popular culture as long as it's Star Wars. As you guys come in, we need to do a couple things. First, we're going to roll for obligation. We establish everyone's obligation at the beginning. I've got my trusty D30 here, which I'm going to use to roll twice, because it's kind of cool and alien and futuristic,
like
this game.
I have a question, though. I'm 1 through 5, right?
You'll be
1 through 5.
What
are the odds on that?
Never. Tell me the odds. That's going to pay off so well.
Nailed
dynamite.
It.
Dynamite. Nailed it. Dude. All right, so I'm going to roll it up. Here we go. I rolled a 93. Doesn't affect anyone this time. No one's obligation triggers. So as you guys step into this room, look around, you don't see anybody who would be a shadowy figure from your past. That's fine. You do see against one wall a gorgeous bar with a, like, I don't know, not quite human, kind of like a droopy-skinned, bald, gray-haired, rather short and squattish, kind of like humanoid creature, like bartender.
Played by Whoopi Goldberg.
Wookie Goldberg?
Wookie Goldberg.
Wookie Goldberg.
I think we've struck gold, guys.
The bartender's name.
Let's stop now. We will never top that.
That's the name of the podcast now.
Wookie Goldberg.
We could
that's
probably
amazing.
Get him to show up.
Do Wookie Goldberg also have dreads?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So behind the bar, we have a short, loose-skinned, pig-nosed, slightly porcine humanoid figure played by Whoopi Goldberg.
No, she has to be a Wookiee.
All Wookie. Right, you're right. Okay, so we'll take that again.
Gorgeous Wookiee.
Behind the
gorgeous ebony Wookiee.
Do not use her on some throwaway scene, David.
Oh, wait,
Whoopi Goldberg. No.
We can have the pig bartender now. We're going to bring Whoopi Goldberg in when we need her. Like, Lorik's mother.
We're not telling you. Yeah.
Okay. Lorik, why are you doing all this stuff? Why can't you say no to things?
Mother, I try.
Okay, so we'll say it's not Whoopi Goldberg, not Whoopi Goldberg behind the bar. It is the pig-faced fellow played by
Paul Giamatti.
Literally.
Paul Giamatti.
Okay. Hold your body in not that much makeup.
Heart Condition. Who's the guy from Heart Condition with Denzel?
Heart Condition? What movies are you watching? Heart Condition starring Denzel? Heart Condition?
I think that's it.
No,
I'll look it up.
It's not called Heart.
This is where he dies, and then a fat white guy gets his heart, and he sees Denzel.
Are you talking about John Goodman?
No.
Fallon? Oh. No, I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, there is a bar. That was all I was trying to say. There's a bar with a bartender in this place, if anyone's interested in drinking. Other than that, games of chance all around. You guys can enter. You don't have your weapons. All you know is someone who has this artifact should be in here somewhere and is looking to fence it off or pass it through somehow.
I feel Gippy would know where to go to find someone that would extend him a line of credit.
Okay.
So I would like to approach that person in character. Who would that be, and who might they be played by?
What do you mean by character actor? What do you mean by a line of credit? Thank you. I'll get to the character actor in 1 second.
Macaulay Culkin.
A line of credit, as in often casinos will extend you a line of credit.
Oh, really?
In hopes that you, if you are a high roller and sufficiently charming, will extend you a line of credit in hopes that you blow it all and then owe them money.
Great. Okay, so you're looking...
I speak personal experience now.
Yeah, there's a. It looks like there's a pit boss probably in there who you could speak to, played by. Let's go with. I like the Paul Giamatti reference.
That's earlier. A great call.
Mm-hmm. Paul Giamatti. So he's pit boss is on the floor. He's standing in his little thing in the center. Turns around. Okay.
Yeah. Wait, come on. What's going on over here?
Hello there. I am revisiting your establishment after many years abroad. I believe you'll be able to find my name on the records and bash it to a gibbet window. I would like to,
Looking for it. It's not here. What are you talking about? Come on, man.
You would agree to give a man of my stats a line of credit of easily 10,000 galactic credits.
Go ahead and make a charm check. 10,000, pretty considerable. We'll say just 2 purple. So if you succeed on this, I'm going to give you 1 obligation. If you fail, 2 obligation.
All right.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, so I succeed with 2 advantage.
Yeah. Oh, you sure. You are. Yeah. You really look like a man of character. Look, take this.
He says, and he hands you, reaches under, hands you like a fat stack of chips, a couple fat stacks.
And,
With your advantage, how much was it? 3 advantage?
Yes.
Take this one as well.
And he slides a black chip with silver tracing on it
for the upper tables.
Oh yes, sir. I'm glad you recognized my obvious and large prestige. Thank you, good sir. I'll put this to good use.
Absolutely.
Very good. Would anyone else be doing anything as they entered the casino here?
Yeah, I would be looking for the entrance upstairs. Like, I imagine there's people standing, trying to get a feel for that.
Kind of just one corner of the casino there. There's a broad, sweeping staircase that comes down. You can see there's a couple Gamorrean guards standing in front of it, and they've got a list. There's like a velvet rope.
Gentlemen, Wookiee droid, would you care to accompany me upstairs?
Tom, it's like I need to get your character's name again. We know your name is Dam.
Yes.
You have to remind me what that stands for.
It's an acronym. It stands for Decryption Android Aeronautical Mechanic and Navigator. So D2As, MN. Like, damn, girl!
Okay. Be taking care of anything in the casino. What would your first moves be?
Dam is looking around. I'm assuming... Dam is assuming there's some sort of surveillance that occurs in this. Yes. Like cameras or something.
Right.
So he's checking to see if there's any access point that he could... infiltrate the cameras and try to see if he could, in the memory of these cameras, see if there was the artifact.
All right, excellent. So go ahead and roll a perception, is what that sounds like to
yes.
me.
Yes.
First 2 purple, a yellow and a green against 2 purple.
Okay. Okay, so that's 1 failure.
Okay, so 1 failure. So you look around, you don't see anything on this level. You do see cameras, or where you can tell, they're under those black domes or whatever, kind of on the underside of that first floor balcony. And you can see him around like that. Gippy, you managed to get your line of credit. It's just a fat stack of like green and red chips that come towards you. And suddenly a MC comes out onto stage and goes,
"Ladies and gentlemen!"
This guy, very tall and thin, Twi'lek. His leku, his hair, his tail, very long but thin down his back.
"Ladies and gentlemen!"
he says, bowing low.
"For your entertainment tonight, the one, the only, the inimitable... Adara Organa!"
And he steps back, and the curtains swing open, and stepping out in a beautiful blue sequined dress with a big poof on it that kind of covers the giant bruise where she was smacked about earlier by the Wookiee. The very woman you encountered in the secondhand shop in Doopies earlier. Coming out onto the stage, played, as we established, by 1980s Karen Allen, also known as Marion from...
Raise the Lost Ark, yeah.
Can I get a Core Worlds check from you, Gippy Bindu?
Core Worlds check?
Yeah, all right.
I guess I'm extremely good at that, so I might as well.
3 purple.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
All right, well, I failed with 3 advantage.
Okay.
I can pretend like I know her.
Oh, you don't recognize the whole name, but you do recognize the last name. Organa, a very
prestigious and noble name from essentially royal family of Alderaan, the most famous Organa being Princess Leia Organa. Unfortunately, you failed your check. You're not sure how closely related this person would be, or you can't quite recall her name, really, but you do place the last name.
Excellent. Bring me a champagne bucket of ice. I have duties to attend to. Yes.
A champagne bucket of ice.
And the way you said that, it makes me think it's literally, it's a bucket
of champagne.
Poured champagne inside of it, and then like a couple ice cubes in there.
It's like a big gulp of champagne.
It could get murky.
Would you like champagne?
She's a human. I've never been able to tell their sexes apart, but regardless, I'm told that she's female and enchanting.
She comes out, the lights kind of dim, you know, the stage lights come up on her, and she launches into a gorgeous rendition of the Star Wars universe equivalent of, like, Blue Velvet or something like that, some torch song. Anything goes.
The Lucas.
That's a little too on the nose, I think. As she's singing, who's kind of in the area? I guess Gippy. She kind of, with the Wookiee standing there, you guys, she catches sight of you, and partway through the song, she descends from the stage, coming down into the crowd, still singing, approaching Gippy and the Wookiee, and she leans in really close to Gippy's ear and goes,
tip me.
And then pulls back and starts doing it and, like, turns away.
Did I just take a thing of chips?
A thing meaning your hand?
Yeah, well, no, just like a gaggle of chips and just kind of toss it.
Oh, man. You're that guy at this trip. Yeah, take it.
Gippy's going downhill fast.
Yeah.
You get one bucket of champagne in him.
Yeah.
He starts to...
Understandably, a bucket of champagne is a lot.
She shoots you, like, a little, like, just for a second, glare of, like, hate and then, like, masters that. And then,
yeah.
Then comes back over and goes and starts, like, you know, puts the leg up on the chair next to you, and as she starts getting close, kind of making it look like, you know, as you would do to a guy who tips you a lot, goes,
"You made it.
Who are you again? Yes, we have made it."
She looks desperately over to the Wookiee.
Why did I do this? The Rodian you're looking for, he's here tonight. All I know is his name is Glizzo.
Those are the lyrics to Blue Velvet. You're terrible at this.
She gives you another kind of puzzled look, like, is he playing dumb or is he dumb?
I give her a nod of, he is dumb. I heard you.
Okay. She turns her head slightly and goes, on the VIP level, pulls back, turns to the song, back
grabs
up on
a few
stage.
Chips on the way. I want to be watching the room. So I want to see if that perks anybody up.
Yeah, right. What's the crowd? How are they responding to this?
That's It wasn't played off totally suavely. So let's go ahead and get I think perception checks again from both of you guys. Two purple on that.
Lyric, my old friend. That incredibly inept showgirl just gave me an idea. Perhaps the Rodian we're looking for is on the VIP section. It's just like that song, Blue Velvet.
Damn has a success.
And Malcolm?
I have one threat.
One threat and one success. Great. The very Ron Perlman-y nature kind of view of Malcolm, you kind of just, you just kind of barge out onto the dance floor and just stand there just like looking around slightly obviously. You know, not really blending in.
Yeah.
That's not your game.
Right, yeah. Just eye contact with everybody. Like eye contact, like right in their face.
The only thing you really notice is that some of the guards start to notice you. And then on the upper level, there's like a human up there who you just kind of catch him out of the corner of your eye. It just seems to like catch eyes on you and you see him say something to a guy.
So I'm just staring at him.
Yeah, that's probably about right. Damn, everyone's looking at Malcolm, so they don't really see you. And you can see that everything I just described to him. You also see on the upper floor, one person who's looking quite alert is a particular Rodian who turns and like disappears from the railing just as you're kind of glancing around. As he turns and goes, you see he has a silver like briefcase.
Damn just whispers to everyone, the Rodian we're looking for, Ratso Glitzo, or whatever his name is, he's up on the floor.
We don't know that.
That's right. You don't actually know his name.
It was just them on the dance floor.
You can read lips. I've known.
Why
all
wouldn't
long.
You? That's your call.
Yeah, it's
or
true.
We're all wearing earpieces.
Okay.
No, I do like...
Just come in.
You can hear him blinking constantly in the earpiece. Oh,
just like screaming to myself.
Like a pooping pulled out of the mud is every time you blink. It's like this wet suction.
Oh yeah, we'll say you guys abandoned the earpiece idea.
Damn alerts everyone to the suspicious Rodian who is carrying what looked like an artifact on the upper level who just left.
All right, sounds good. There only seems to be one way up to the upper level, and that's those stairs guarded by those Gamorreans.
So how many moves is it going to take Gippy to get all the way up to the top?
It's going to take Gippy a not inconsiderable amount of time to get up.
Roll an athletics check.
I believe the athletics, so it should be the same difficulty for everybody to go up the stairs. It's no purple on the check. It's a simple check. However, then there are situational setback dies. So I'm going to give you, say, 3 setback dies. So give me one more black there. Okay.
So my question to you is, though, like, I have that chip, right? Would that chip also gain me access to people who would be willing to carry me?
You can try asking at the stairs.
Oh, man.
Sounds good. So let's roll up our fate points really quick. There's someone. Two white light side points. One dark side point. One light side point. Two light side points. Okay.
More light sides.
Damn.
Nice.
Two light side points. So that gives us a total pool of 8 light side points to 1 dark side point, giving you guys a bountiful amount of fate on your side in this casino encounter.
Flip them all. Let's get you up those stairs.
So, Gippy, you approach the stairs with the rest of your group. It looks like if you're trying to get someone to carry you up.
You and me, sir, I was given this.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Tune in again next week for the next episode. Until then, may the Force be with you.